Hey Kirk, what's going on, man?
Well, not much.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Are you sure?
I think so.
It's going to be like deja vu.
All over again.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
All over again. Hey, so this next episode, we are halfway through our division previews. We are going to continue those after a brief break from that when we did a mock draft episode. So we're going to talk about the AFC East today. And this is a tough one to get up for, Kirk, because I think this is the worst division in football. I don't know how you feel about it.
I completely agree.
All right. But so just to remind everybody, the premise for these shows is we're going to talk about how we think each team will do record-wise. And we're going to talk about the mid-level and kind of fringe players on these teams, players that can really make or break your draft, you know, players that can be some hidden gems in there, not the studs. We don't need to talk about the studs. We've already done that exhaustively. So that's kind of a moot point already. You know who you're taking in the first three rounds. So these are kind of, again, those mid-level and fringe players. But before we do that, we obviously have to talk about our sponsors.
Can't wait.
That's how we get paid. Hey, yeah. Here's one, Kirk, that is near and dear to our hearts. TGI Fridays, specifically the location on Peace Street. Come visit them for Erie's best happy hour on Sunday nights. Enjoy trivia games all night long. And backed by popular demand are their $3.50 domestic drafts. So...
I can't believe they actually took our advice. We were really pulling for it.
Yeah, last time we were there, drafts were $3.
Yeah,
but it seems like the public rallied and they bumped it to where the public demanded, which was back up to $3.50.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm very happy now. I've wanted to pay more for a while now. They just wouldn't let me. So,
yeah. All right.
Well, I have a sponsor.
You still have a sponsor?
Oh yeah, yeah. This one is near and dear to my hearts and your hearts. Since the invention of the cell phone, we have made life so much easier. So next time you go out there to Sprint or T-Mobile, Verizon or AT&T, ask them to pay. Buy the most expensive phone because you'll probably drop a call every day for the next, 15 years. So just remember that. The iPhone, the Samsung, these are all great phones if you really want to drop a call. So let's thank those sponsors. All the wireless carriers. You guys do a great job.
So are you saying that the more you spend on the phone, the more calls you will drop?
Yes. So you're getting your money's worth right away.
Do you remember dropping any calls in 2004?
Never.
Because I don't.
No, I think I dropped my phone, but I never dropped a call.
Oh, well, all right. Hey, let's move on with the show here. So of no surprise, I have the New England Patriots winning the division. I have them at 12-4. Last year, they were 13-3 as Super Bowl losers. They trade away Brandon Cooks for a first-round pick. With that pick, they use it on running back Sony Michel. Last year, you know, they just seem to be a very solid team, just like they always are. This year, the only reason I have them taking a step back is I don't think they're as good as advertised. I think they have 6 easy wins in the division, but outside the division, I only have them at 6-4. So I think they are just a product of that. Nobody is going to threaten them for the division this year.
Well, I have them at 13-3. I have them staying put. I'm now looking at last year, they were first in passing yards, 10th in rushing, and first in total yards per game. So offensively, how much of a drop did they lose by getting rid of Brandon Cooks and Danny Amendola? I'm going to say very little because they get back Julian Edelman and they added a running back to the core. So as name recognition goes, they don't look that good. You're not drafting a lot of guys. You're not you're not expecting to put a lot, but I think as a total team, they will stay as a high octane offense. So at the end of the year, you may actually have some New England Patriots on your team that you wouldn't have expected just because of the way they're rolling.
Yep. Yeah, they also lose Nate Solder, Pro Bowl left tackle as well.
How much will that affect them? You won't know until they go out there.
Yep. So first player I want to talk about, and then after this player, I want to talk about a couple of position battles. First player is Julian Edelman. Last year, obviously, no relevance at all because he was out the entire year with the knee injury. The year before that, he was 17th points per game. 3 years ago, though, he was number 7 points per game, and these are all PPR points per reception scoring formats. I think his ceiling is a wide receiver number 2. I don't think he has the ability to creep into that wide receiver number 1 arena anymore. Kirk, where do you think Julian Edelman can finish this year?
Well, I mean, again, when you talk about a high potent offense, regardless of name recognition, he's going to be at the top of the list as of targets and attention. In a PPR league, I think that's gonna make him a mid to upper wide receiver too. As far as total yards in a standard scoring league, he is a low number 2. He may even be a number 3 at that point. But I'm looking to draft him in my leagues probably in the mid to late rounds.
Yeah. The great thing about him is you can probably get him as your fourth receiver right now, and where he's going in drafts, I would expect his draft value or draft stock to continue to rise closer to the draft time. Mm-hmm. So obviously the two number one targets on this team are going to be Julian Edelman and Gronk. That's without question. You know, number 3 may be a receiving running back, but I want to talk about the position battles for whoever the number 2 receiver is going to be. Mm-hmm. And let me read off this list of names to you, Kirk, and let me know who you like the most out of all these guys to emerge as another fantasy relevant player. Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell, Kenny Britt, Jordan Matthews, Philip Dorsett, or Cordell.
I'm sticking with the guys that have been there in New England, and that's Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell was hurt last year, but he was good when he was playing, and he had he has time to review the offense and stuff. So I think Chris Hogan is my number 1 for number 2, and Malcolm Mitchell's my number 2 for number 2.
Is he your number 1 for number
3? He's my number 1 for number 3.
So you think some of the big name guys they bring out, you think some of the medium name guys they bring in, you don't think they're going to have any impact?
I think initially they're going to rely on the people that have been there. I mean, Jordan Matthews should be the number 2, but based on what the expectation was of him. But I think Chris Hogan just is a better fit in this offense. He always finds a way of getting open and ends up surprising people with his numbers. So I think the only other one would be Jordan Matthews. I think Kenny Britt is toast. I think he's going to be more like Chad Ochocinco was in New England. Philip Dorsett is, was he going to have 2 catches and like 80 yards maybe in a game? But I'm looking at Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell with a very close eye on Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, so Chris Hogan really only played the first 8 weeks of the season last year. From weeks 2 through 5, he was a wide receiver number 1 in those 4 straight weeks. The other weeks, though, he was either a wide receiver number 3 or he was really, really bad. But those 4 weeks just seem to be stuck in my mind. Also, being a Steelers fan, I remember 2 years ago when he had over 200 yards receiving against us. So he's somebody that is, it's just hard for me to not imagine him as the best guy out of that group. Either way, though, I think the moral of the story is watch in preseason, see which guy emerge. If it's not obvious, then don't draft any of them.
Sounds good.
So, moving on to the running back position. What do you have? Who do you have emerging out of that? So you have Sony Michel, their first round pick. You have Rex Burkhead, James White. There's also Jeremy Hill, free agent offseason.
I think if you're drafting anybody, I think your safest bet is Rex Burkhead. The keeper league, I would then put Sony Michel as a little bit more valuable, as far as who you'd be probably going after. But in a snake league, I think Rex Burkhead's really the only one that I would be drafting. I'd probably stay away from all of them as long as possible.
So right now, if you're doing a 10-team draft, you could probably get Sony Michel as your number three running back and Rex Burkhead as your number four. In a 12-team draft, you could probably get Michel as a number two and Rex Burkhead as a number three. When you're talking about it in those terms, I like the value of Rex Burkhead over Michel. I think he's more predictable. And I think no matter what happens, he will have a role in this offense where, you know, Michel, I don't know if he's a project or what, or, you know, he did have some fumbling problems, and we know Belichick will bury a guy on the bench for that. So
he's a hell of a dodgeball player, I hear.
Yeah, he's part of the Vipers. Michel. Okay, so the team that I've placing second in this division is Miami Dolphins at a whopping 6 wins, 6-10. Last year they were 6-10. I don't have them getting any better, even though their young starting quarterback is returning. They lose Jarvis Landry. They traded Jay Ajayi last year. They get rid of Damian Williams, so it looks like Kenyon Drake is going to be the guy. Having said that, they sign Frank Gore. They draft Kalen Ballage. They bring in Albert Wilson. So what do you make of this team?
Well, I have them more of a disappointing 4-12. I am not excited about it. Too many of these players outside of maybe Kenyon Drake. And then maybe one of their wide receivers, but even still, they were 16th in passing yards last year, 29th in rushing, with a grand total 27th overall. I mean, they were at the bottom of the league, and
they were really 16th.
Yeah, 237 yards. That's not really that great. So I'm wondering.
Yeah, but there was a couple of games where I think Jay Cutler had like 60 or 80 yards. That shocks me that they were that high.
Keep in mind now, what they did was they said, well, we want worse quarterbacks in this room. And so that they went out and got Bryce Petty, who has yet to show any spark at all. Brock Osweiler couldn't make the Cleveland Browns team that went 0-16. And then David Fales.
Even though they had $17 million invested.
Yeah, I mean, So it looks dim. I would be asking for a trade if I was anybody else on that team.
Okay. So you talked about Kenyon Drake, the only player you see with potential. Do you think there's any scenario to where he is not a running back number two?
The only way is if Frank Gore cuts into his goal line carries and you know, vultures some TDs. I don't think Frank Gore is going to – I don't know how they can turn to Frank Gore initially. I feel like they got to ease him in. He's an old man. He may steal some in the middle of the season, but I think Kenyon Drake should be a number two regardless.
Okay. For their number one outside receiver – who do you like more, DeVante Parker or Kenny Stills?
DeVante Parker should be the guy. I think with Landry gone, The chemistry will still be there with Tannehill. I think Devontae Parker should be the guy, and I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be the guy. Whereas Kenny Stills just seems to be successful with limited touches. But I would think if you're going to go by volume, Devontae Parker is going to be given every opportunity to succeed.
Okay. I agree with that. Not saying that he'll actually perform, but yeah, I think that they may try to force him into that position. The one player, though, that I think I'll probably be very apt to take, and especially in 12-team leagues late, is Danny Amendola. I'm curious to think or to see if he fills into that Jarvis Landry role, even if he's 80% of what Jarvis Landry used to do. Jarvis Landry was a 100 catch a year guy. If Amendola can get 75 to 80 catches, that's still great for a late round PPR steal, a guy that you can plug in when other players have bye weeks or injuries, and you know, you feel good getting a surefire double digit week out of him.
Now, I see something here. I'm digging back into 2015 in New England, and you know, they may have signed Danny Amendola as a fifth string quarterback. He has a career rating of 118. He completed one pass for 36 yards. I mean, that's a pretty good percentage of completion, and then his yards per completion. I mean, that's just – I don't think
– So you think they brought him in to challenge Tannehill, not necessarily to replace Jarvis?
It's possible. I mean –
So if he's starting at quarterback, do you think the – so, okay, so that's key. So if they're starting him right at quarterback
– and wide receiver.
And the – yeah, and Yahoo still has him listed as right a wide receiver. Pay attention to the scoring formats there, because that could be very bad.
Yeah, he could throw a pass to himself and get a lot of points. Keep that in mind. Okay. Last year he had 86 targets, 61 – receptions. That has to go up. I say late in a round, you know, take a flyer on him. He's steady Eddie when he's on the field, but he just doesn't stay on the field that often.
That's right. All right. Hey, moving on. New York Jets, 5-11 last year. I have them at 5-11 this year, although I think this team is trending up. I like the quarterback situation there. I think they've got three very good options. They drafted Sam Darnold. They signed Teddy Bridgewater in the offseason. Then they also re-signed Josh McCown, who was very streamable last year. I think they have some good receiving options. I think they have some good running backs. Again, fantasy-wise, a lot to like about this team. I just don't think on the field it translates to victories. What do you have?
I am at 5-11. I'm excited about them. If I was a fan, I think they set up their quarterback room right. They have a seasoned veteran to start the games. Teddy Bridgewater, who's young and successful when he played, is a good guy in the quarterback room and a rookie to build up on. I wouldn't draft any of those guys in fantasy. Their running backs are a nice mix of good players, and they seem to be pretty good at rushing the ball. They're over 100 yards last year, and their wide receivers just seem to be another hodgepodge of good players, but nothing too crazy when it comes to fantasy.
Yeah, it's kind of a curious, very curious for Teddy Bridgewater to sign there with McCown, who re-signed, and then he had to know that they were going young for a quarterback. But I think if any of those guys start, I think they're all streamable. But I want to talk about Robbie Anderson, who was kind of their fantasy darling last year. Had five or six games where he had touchdowns in a row. Ended up as the number 23 wide receiver in points per game last year. That's better than Alshon Jeffrey. That's better than Michael Crabtree. Could be a great draft value this year. I think a lot of people are scared because of some disciplinary issues. They don't know if he's facing a suspension or what, but how do you like Robbie Anderson this year?
I don't. With Quincy Inouye, I think he may, now the more I look at him, the more I think he may take over the role of number one. 2016, okay. he had 105 targets. Now, he only managed 58 receptions out of that, so that's probably quarterback play. He looks like the better player, to me. But, you know, Robbie Anderson did just fine when he was given the role. But I think Quincy Inunua is going to be the main man going forward. That's just my wild guess.
Okay. All right, what about Terrell Pryor? This has got to be near you.
When your only successful years are with the Browns, that's pretty sad.
Years?
He needs to take some anti-depression pills. But I think skill set wise, if used properly, he's a red zone target. He should be a first down guy to be able to catch the ball with his big body. But I don't see him. I think there's going to be a good mix of what he was in Cleveland and what he was in Washington, somewhere in the middle. Not draftable.
All right. So speaking of other former Cleveland Browns, moving to the running back position, who do you like more, Isaiah Crowell or Bilal Powell?
Boy, those are just weird names to say, Isaiah Crowell or Bilal Powell. I would – something about Isaiah Crowell that I think he's the best running back when there's a hole and he goes through it. Otherwise, he falls on his feet. I would say draft-wise with PPR, Bilal Powell I think has more value. I think Isaiah Crowell will go way too high for me to draft him. I hope he's not an option. Whereas Bilal Powell seems to be available at the time I'm looking for him within a couple rounds in the late rounds of the draft. So I feel like I'm drafting Bilal Powell more likely than Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I think a lot of people are assuming Isaiah Crowell went there to be the starter. I am not sold on that. I don't think there is a true separation of talent there. I'm staying away from both. However, if I have a player gets injured, I'd be happy to pick either one of them up on the waiver wire, but I'm not drafting anyone.
And they also have a new guy, Lawrence Thomas. He's 6'3", 286 pounds. So look for him to be a stud.
Is he a scat back?
Yeah. He's one of those in and out guys. You know, he breaks ankles and stuff. 6'3", 286, running back.
The next there?
Yes.
Next, he's
undersized for his position.
Yeah, he if you talk to him, he's always got that chip on his shoulder. You know what I mean?
Everybody's bigger than me. I'm drinking milk, so you wait one day, I'll be able to run you over.
Yeah. He's not going to forget all the other 31 teams right. You passed on him. All right, so that brings us to the last team here, who I'll be curious to see what you have for them, but the Buffalo Bills, I have at 4-12. Last year, they were 9-7. They made the playoffs, which was, I think, absolutely amazing given the circumstances. First time they made the playoffs, and they had the longest drought of any NFL team. I think they may be the worst team in football this year. They have, last year they siphoned away skill players. This year they've lost two stud offensive linemen. I think it's going downhill. They lose their starting quarterback, who brings them to the playoffs. I think it's going to be bad. What do you?
I have them at 6-10. They're primarily a running team. I feel like that's what they're gonna continue to do. They were 6 last year. They still have LeSean McCoy. The only thing that brings cause to that, or the question to that, is they lost some people on their offensive line. And the fact that their quarterback's in Cleveland means that they stink at that position. And I still have them squeaking out 6-10 because I think LeSean McCoy and even his backup, Chris Ivory, that's a good set of running backs. I think they'll continue to pound the rock. And they'll get more out of it then because they're going to play against the Jets and the Dolphins, and I think they'll squeak out a couple wins. But they probably shouldn't.
Yep. Okay. So AJ McCarron or Josh Allen, who's the week one starter? And whoever is starting, do you think they are streamable as quarterbacks?
I think after all said and done, I think Josh Allen's going to be the week one starter. I don't think it's a good idea. I think the hype will get the best of them, and they'll want to push him forward. He'll probably look good in the preseason, good enough to say, wow, we want him to start. I'm not touching either one of these guys with a 10-foot ball.
Okay. Last year, the Bills, they traded away Sammy Watkins, which I think shocked a lot of people. But then midway through the season, right before the trade deadline, they trade for Kelvin Benjamin. Do you think Kelvin Benjamin will be any better this year than last year? Do you think he's draftable? Do you think he's going to be there?
Repeat that question again. I was looking at Ray McLeod, the third.
No, so yeah, I think that's a different show. The Ray McLeod is definitely a different show. Kelvin Benjamin, does he have the ability to be a solid number one, and do you think he'll be better?
I absolutely think he has the ability to be the number one. I think he has shown it in parts in Carolina. I wouldn't bet any money on it, but I think he should fill that role. He should get every opportunity. They should be forcing the ball to him as many times as possible. Zay Jones is his next threat, and I don't really think he's going to stay on the field all year. I mean, they got a ragtag bunch of wide receivers that I can't say their names either. But they did draft Ray McLeod III in the sixth round of the 2018 draft from Clemson. So look for him to make a big impact early.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, looking at Kelvin Benjamin, Kelvin Benjamin may be the lowest or latest picked number one receiver from a team. So I would definitely be willing to take a flyer on him. You can get him as your fifth or sixth receiver on your team, and he has the potential to be a number one on his team. Not saying that's going to be great, but hey, at that point in the draft, you're taking flyers on people. That may be an interesting pick
there. Yeah, a lot of question marks in how the quarterback, whichever one is going to be, is going to lock on. I mean, I think if it's Josh Allen, he's looking for the big guy, the big target, get the ball down the field, throw a high ball so we can catch it and see what happens. McCarron, I would think he's more surgical with his passes, trying to be more precise, high percentage passes, to where you're going to see the tight end or some of your smaller, shorter routes get filled.
Well, I think Kelvin Benjamin is that, though. I think he is the shorter route guy because he runs about a 6.7 40-yard dash. So, I think he'll fare well with McCarron. Josh Allen, I would see. Zay Jones. Maybe Zay Jones. So
or Ray McLeod the
third. Or Ray McLeod the third. Who knows? Nobody knows.
Nobody.
It's impossible. So, well, that's all we got. Again, just to recap, I have the Patriots at the top of the division, as is Kirk. And then for me, it goes the Dolphins, the Jets, and then the Bills. For Kirk, it goes
Bills.
The Bills, Jets, and then the Dolphins. Either way, we have the Patriots going away, and then all three of the other teams with six wins or less. I don't think there's any way around it. The last three teams in this division are just awful, but hey, that's what you get. So, you know, hey, the one thing, Kirk, I just want to remind everybody is to visit us on our Facebook page. Just go into Facebook, search Fancy Football. And if you type in a question on the page, we will be sure to incorporate it into our next episode. That is a Fancy Boys guarantee. Yes,
or your money back.
Yeah, yeah. We'll give you every single cent back. That's actually been tried and true. So
yeah, I got it.
All right, dude. Well, hey, that's all we got for the Fancy Boys. We are signing off.
It's stuck. Fading out.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.